Okay, we all have gifts. Everyone has a gift. I emphasize that because in teaching this through the years and talking to people about it, I've had multiple people that would say, I don't think I have a gift. That is from the enemy. That's something that Satan is using, honestly. You're a powered child of God by the Spirit of God. He has given to each one of us a gift to be used. Don't listen to the lie of the enemy. You have a gift tonight. All three of these state that the gifts flow out of God's grace. Don't you love the grace of God? We sing of His grace. It's not just saving grace, it's also empowering and gifting grace. And we see it in these three. All three of these state the need and respect for all of the gifts. That is important. That's where there's a special hook there to that, because so many times if someone else doesn't have our gift, especially in the Romans 12 gifts, when you have a gift of prophecy or perceiver, as we looked at last Sunday night, you typically have a hard time with mercies. And if you're a mercy, you have a hard time with perceivers or those with the prophecy gift. Or if you're an administrator, you have a hard time with servers, and servers have a hard time with administrators. And if you're an exhorter, you kind of have a hard time with teachers, and teachers have a hard time. You know why? Because they're complementary gifts. But how many of you know opposites attract, right? We see that in marriage many times. That's in it. It's kind of bizarre, but they tend to attract one. Why is that? Because one has this strength, and one has this strength, and one has this weakness, and one has that weakness, and they complement one another. And Jesus' body complements itself, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, and all the body working together. So all three state the need and respect for all of the gifts, and all three call the church to unity around these three gifts, all right? Let's read Romans 12, verses 4 through 8 again. Quickly walk through some of these and make some comments here. Romans 12:4. For as in one body we have many members or parts, and the members or parts do not have the same function. How many of you have ever noticed that an ear is different than an eye? Let me see your hand. Aren't we the smartest church in town? I love that. All right. So we, same with us, though we are many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And we looked at this weeks ago, Psalm 139, that word in the Hebrew, kilya, K-I-L-Y-A-H, it means my inmost being, that God created my inmost being. My parents, it was obvious to them that there was a marked difference in me versus my brother. Once I grew a little bit, my personality began to manifest. Randy and I, we love each other greatly. I just talked today about how important the Arizona Cardinals are to us. Okay, but Randy and I are so different from one another, night and day. And my mom tells stories. But then once I've raised three girls, I realize the very same thing. Who gave them that? God did. God made Michaela, our middle, so different than Aubrey, so different than Whitney. And birth order is not the only reason, although that alone is fascinating. And those of you that have three kids, I bet if we got together, we could talk about middle children. And there's a uniqueness to that middle child versus that firstborn versus the youngest. Looked across at my little nephew, Colin. They came down from Kansas City for Thanksgiving, and Ryan Pastor's up there, my brother-in-law, and little Colin, their youngest, and I just said, look at him. He's got his little like blanket that he's had forever, and he's a little bit too old for a blanket, but don't tell them I said that. Okay, eliminate that, strike that from the tape. But he's old enough now, but you still see that little security. Guess which of our three had the same thing? The youngest. All right, and who do we tend to love the most? The youngest. No, I'm just kidding. But who do we tend many times to just, it's just different in our parenting. That's birth order. But you know, beyond that, in that kilya, in that inner being that God created, I'm convinced that He made all three of them unique to one another and every one of us in this room. And I believe these gifts have a lot to do with that. I want you to note in verse number 6, though, as Paul moves into the gifts, he says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. And then if it is, and he goes on and lists all the other six. It's important. These are things that by faith we recognize and we use for God's glory. If your gift is mercy, then use that gift cheerfully, he says. If your gift is giving, then do it generously. But all of that takes what? It takes faith. It's you operating within the frame of who you are, who God made you to be, and that takes faith, which is interesting. Couple of the things I want to quickly mention. Just look to the screen, if you will, about our gifts, and then we're going to turn to our sheet. Number one, our gift is formed in us by God. We already just talked about that. Psalm 139, for you created my kilia. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not in. Your frame is different in the Hebrew than your innermost being. So there's a uniqueness there. My frame was hidden from you when you made me in the secret place. We have body, soul, spirit. We talked about that weeks ago. Number two, our gift is part of Jesus' completed work at the cross. I love this about Ephesians 4, right? Because it says, Jesus, what did he do? But it says to each one of us, that's all of us here, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, quoting Psalms, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and he gave gifts to men. Paul takes that psalm and says that is a picture of the church. So when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, he empowered his church, not only with the Holy Spirit, but also with other gifts. And every one of you here has a gift from God. Number three, your gift is designed to bless others. Not a matter of you just saying, well, look at what my bless is. My gift is. 1 Peter 4:10, each one in the body should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. I love the picture of that in the Greek language. It is a picture, to me, the way I envision it, it's like a funnel. And you have all, God has all of this grace, and then it just comes down. And he dispenses to every one of you gifts. Out of that manifold grace of God, we all have our gift. Each one, you should use that gift to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Pastor Don will share his gift different than Pastor Tom, Pastor David, Pastor Nick, Pastor Mike, Pastor Jeff. Each one, we have different gifts, and we will dispense various forms. Sometimes you want somebody to have it all. Well, nobody has it all. Jesus is the one who has it all. But he dispenses that gift, and then those gifts all manifest his great grace. Number four, our gift is of equal value with all the other gifts, right? And that's important. Absolutely. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. 1 Corinthians 12. Number five, our gift is not to be neglected. 1 Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, do not neglect the gift which has been given to you. And number six to me, Romans 12, and I will move there, is our gifts color everything that we see. Your gift colors everything you see. I've used the illustration for years of glasses, but I realized once I really began to see how God made me unique among these gifts, I realized I see life through those glasses. That's just the lenses that I have. You have different glasses that you wear according to the gift that God has given you. Now, we looked at four gifts last Sunday night. We looked at the gift of perceiver or prophecy or prophet. And I like to use the word perceiver not to confuse it that then someone runs around the church saying, well, I'm a prophet of God. Everybody's a prophet. I believe there's that gift of prophecy. And we looked at the characteristics, and now you have all of them in front of you very, very quickly. They tend to quickly identify good and evil. They see everything in black and white. They respond to the Holy Spirit's conviction. They're bold about their beliefs. They have strict standards, and they desire to obey God despite the cost. I just sat with one of these in our church this week, and I encouraged him because I realized, I'm sorry, he's not in our church, but it was on the phone. I was ministering to him over the phone. But I shared with him about this gift, and I realized this is what this man's gift, I believe, that he has. And God's convicting him in an area, and I mean, he is going overboard to cover that area in his life that God's, well, that is just, that I smiled with him and said, man, That's the way that you perceivers are. Cautions. And by the way, if you wonder, what is my gift? You'll have fun with that little evaluation tonight or throughout this week. But many times it's in the cautions that you'll see yourself even better than the characteristics. You'll go, oh, well, that looks like me. Here's what you need to be cautioned about. You tend to be judgmental and blunt. You tend to focus on the negative. You tend to be intolerant of other people's opinions and pain. And you tend toward being prideful. So if that's your gift, you need to consider this and have some fun with it. And don't hate me. I didn't come up with this. This is from multiple books I've read. Number two, a mercy or the compassion gifted person. A gift of mercy. Just think about it. Just for a moment. If you think God gave someone mercy, then what would some of those traits be in them? It's pretty obvious. They would be sensitive to people's needs. They have mercy. They would be attracted to those in need. They would believe in the good of others. They'd seek right relationships with people because they're mercy. They're ruled more by their heart than their head, and they intercede for the injustice of people. When they feel something is wrong, has been done wrong, they rise up about that because they have mercy in their heart toward people. Cautions. They can be easily offended. They can choose to avoid confrontations. They can be intolerant of those who they feel are insensitive, and they can be misunderstood by the opposite sex because they're very merciful. And so they tend to extend that mercy, okay? We looked at the gift of administrator. Everyone, just quickly, let's say this about an administrator gift, is they see the big picture, okay? They're the ones that love the whiteboard. They're the ones that they want to see all the pieces of the puzzle, and they can see it all, okay? There's your administrator. There's good, and there's some cautions to an administrator. The server, they recognize the needs, and they love just to serve. And see, the uniqueness of these two is the server just says, tell me what to do. I'll do anything. You wipe down all those tables after a banquet. They just go and they just love to start wiping the tables. The administrator, meanwhile, is realizing the tables need wiped down. They need to be taken down. What closet do they go to? And they've already got the list. There's 5, 15, 20 things that need to be done. A server's there just saying, tell me what to do. I'll move those chairs from A to B. Just let me serve. They just love to serve, okay? We looked at those last week. Let's look now at the last three, and I'll make some concluding thoughts here, okay? The teacher. Number five on the back side, would you follow with me along? A teacher-gifted person. It's pretty obvious. Think about it. They love to read and to do research. They love to verify truth. You could tell them something, and they'll smile, and okay, they're going to go back. They're going to verify that. Okay, they love to present truth logically. Typically, they're very self-disciplined. They are intellectually sharp, and they believe truth is what changes people. If any of you read the Dr. Neil Anderson books, Bondage Breaker and some of that, Neil Anderson, I don't know if he has this gift or not, but when I look at the way he has framed his ministry through the years, he believes the word of God sets people free. If you will just know the truth will set you free. And so you need to operate in what God has said about you, et cetera. And powerful ministry of setting people free of many times demonic things, it really fits well into a teacher-gifted person. The cautions can miss the practical application. Now think with me. This is what's so good about this. If this is your gifting, then it could be so easy that you are so researched and so well read and all you are full of facts, and you never take the facts and apply them to the person's life situation. So you're just full of knowledge, but it never gets applied. Do you see that that could be a weakness of a teacher? So they've got to work at that to be sure to make application, all right? Another area can be legalistic and dogmatic because they've done the research, the study, and they know what they know. So you have to be careful. They can develop intellectual pride, and they can be more interested in knowledge than in people. I know someone like this. She was a neighbor of mine years ago, incredible lady. Reads, she is just an amazing reader. But, you know, I don't think she doesn't need any time with people. She just needs a book. All she needs is a book in her hand all the time. Really doesn't care that much about people. That's the danger you can have there, okay? Now, the exhorter is the complementary gift of the teacher. Total opposite, and we'll have some fun with this in a moment. You'll get it. An exhorter-gifted person. They love to encourage and please others. They live in a positive outlook. They prefer application over research, okay? I heard an amen. Maybe here's one. A good communicator. An idea person and the people person. You know who your exhorter is in the world? They're your salesman. Look down that list. Positive outlook, courage people, And we've got salesmen all over the body of Christ, and we need salesmen. I think Barnabas was a salesman. He was an encourager. He was positive. He said, hey, church in Jerusalem, no, we can trust this guy. Come on, Paul, come here. I want you to meet Saul. And the whole church is running scared to death, but there's Barnabas. Come on, come on. I bet you anything, he had this gift of exhortation, positive. Here's the negative or the cautions. They can bend convictions to gain approval. They can be overeager to share their opinions. They can allow the end to justify the means, and they can poorly handle confrontations, okay? I'm thinking of someone that is this off the charts, and I look at the cautions, and I realize that in his life, and I know him really well, and this may be your gift tonight. Well, then you need to be cautious. Now, let's look at these two gifts quickly, teacher and exhorter, and let's say you're listening to a sermon being given. Many times when a teacher is a pastor or a class that you're attending or whatever, they just have that strong gift of teaching, then again, you'll see these qualities in them. Everything is in context. Everything is well-researched. Everything. That exhorter gets up many times, tells three stories, and takes a scripture out of context, and the altars are filled. And we go home saying, wasn't that amazing sermon? That drives a teacher crazy. It was out of context. He really didn't even use the word hardly at all. Yet 1,500 people got saved. Everybody goes home happy in Jesus, okay? And you look at the balance. You know why? The church needs both. Many of your greatest evangelists are, I guarantee you, they're exhorters, the gift of exhortation. They are positive. They're storytelling. They're fun. They're enjoyable. God does incredible things. But you know what? You couldn't live on that diet. You'd have to have a teacher. You've got to have the Word of God broken down, given to you, outline form. Some of you, oh, you got to have that. Others, I could care less about that. It just, we respond many times to these gifts around us. Does that make sense? And I've watched the exhorter in the pulpit, and I've watched the teacher in the pulpit. I've also watched the prophet in the pulpit. Ever heard about a guy named Wilkerson? What was that guy's name? I was in the multipurpose hall when it was a sanctuary. I thought I was a Christian until I heard David Wilkerson. And I'm at CBC. Man, I was at that altar in no time flat. I was up on the balcony. I was on this side of the balcony. I'll never forget that night. And what did he speak on? He spoke on sin at Central Assembly. Everybody's a sinner in this church. I'll never forget that night. Man, I was at that altar. It was flooded with college students. It was just an amazing night. Probably many of you were there, 1981, 82, somewhere in there. David Wilkerson had that gift. Look at those qualities. You're just reading David Wilkerson. You're just reading gift of prophecy, all right? The teacher gift, the exhorter gift. Then let's look quickly at the giver. And here's the giver. Gives freely to the work of ministry, feels a part of the ministry that they give to, loves to meet a need anonymously, is typically good with finances, gives as the Lord leads, and expects the gift to be high quality and handled well. And I have watched this gift. I'm telling you, that is so true of someone that has a gift of giving. And they love to give. And these qualities mark them. Here's the caution, though. They can feel pride over their gift that they give. They can develop a need for recognition. Did you see what I gave? They can equate finances to God's approval. Because many times, see, a giver, they're good with their finances. And God blesses their giving. And before long, they could end up feeling, well, God's hand is on me because look at what I'm doing. And they can seek to manipulate others through their giving. Ah, I've seen this in the church. None of you have, but I have. We have, haven't we? Seen people that want to manipulate with their giving. Have to be careful about that. So those areas. Now those are the three gifts. Now let's look back to the whole body. Do we have that picture of the whole body? And let's just review this quickly, okay? Going back to this again, just as kind of a thought, a way to view this where you could remember how these may operate, but an example, okay? Tonight we looked at the mouth, okay? There's your exhorter. No offense, exhorters here. Don't get mad whenever you go home and say, wow, I guess that's my gifting. But many times they're a picture of that. They bring encouragement. They lift up, they build up, they're always positive. You could kind of picture them as the mouth to the body. The mind, the teacher we just looked at, because it's important that we have that in the body of Christ. The eyes, that prophecy, that perceiver, they see things black and white. That God speaks to them and they bring a prophetic word, a strong word. They just have deep conviction in their heart in many ways. They can be like the eyes of the body. But then you've got to have the heart. How many of you know the tin man had to have a heart, right? Okay, let's move on. Good grief. Some of you, you're hard tonight. The heart, mercy. living from your heart. Hands, service. The arms, giving that ability, the giving, so the whole body can do what it does. You've got to have the needs supplied. The shoulder, a picture of administration, giving the structure. Again, we're back to the mouth. But you can see how the body of Christ needs all of these gifts. I'd ask you tonight two critical questions as we come near a close. Number one, who am I? It's a fun thing to discover. Had someone helped me understand my gift out of Romans 12 when I was 21 years old and graduating from Central Bible College, I would have left here in a lot better shape, to be honest with you. But no one was teaching these gifts. And when I stumbled on it these years later, I thought, no wonder I've been that way. No wonder that makes sense. I realize that's my gift. But do you know how freeing it is then that you realize that's who God made me to be, and then I can use that for His glory? And I don't have to worry that I'm not that gift. I have this gift within the body. So a good thing to find out, who am I? Are you a perceiver? Are you a server? Are you a teacher? Are you a giver, administrator? Do you have the gift of mercy? What is your gifting? Go home and have fun with that, and let's discover it. Number two, then how do I fit in the body of Christ? And that applies in so many ways. But for one thing, how can you use your gift here at Central? Another way, how does this interrelate then you with your closest friend, with your children, with your spouse? See, with us, with our kids, we began to realize what Whitney's gift was. And then we realized a little bit better how to parent her. And the same with Michaela, and the same with Aubrey. Once we began to get a handle on this gift, plus Carl and I in our own marriage realized what each other's gifts were and how then we related to one another. So fascinating, wonderful, fun thing for you to do. Three critical commitments, though, and then we'll close. Number one, I choose to accept the spirit that God placed in me when He created me in my mother's womb. That is an important commitment that you make to yourself and the Lord tonight to say, okay, God, I choose to accept the way You made me to be. Because you might be a teacher and you want to be an exhorter so bad, and they are so polarizing. They're so different. Accept who God made you to be and be all that you can be for Him then. Second thing, I choose to accept the spirit of those I relate to on a daily, weekly basis in my family or the church, my workplace, my neighborhood. You'll meet people, especially within the body of Christ, and you accept them for who God made them to be, all right? There's one of these gifts that just irritates me to death, to be honest with you. But you know what? We have to have that gift in the body. And so I love them in Jesus. All right? With a smile on my face. Number three, I choose to yield to the Holy Spirit's work of perfecting me into the image of Christ as I seek to avoid the pitfalls of my unique gifting. Okay? So I encourage you to go on a self-discovery. All right? What's the key to that evaluation? As you're going through those, don't sit and ponder them. Quickly respond, as it says to do. One, two, or three. Quickly respond, and then add it all up at the end. And have fun with it. And if you want to talk to me about it, give me a call this week. Just don't flood me with 100 calls. That would be hard to do. But feel free. If you'd have anything, I'd love to talk to you about it. But it's a discovery, all right? God made every one of you unique, and this will help you see your uniqueness tonight. And I think it'll be great for you, all right? I started to say any questions, but we could be here all night long. So how about we close with a word of prayer, okay? Thank you, Lord. Lord, I thank You for those that are here that have the gift of prophecy. Lord, I bless them, and I pray, God, You'd use them within our body, Lord, in their firm convictions and their strong view and opinions, Lord. I pray, God, that they would be tempered, that their tongues would be tempered, Lord, knowing they can be judgmental. They can at times be a little bit harsh. I pray, Lord, that they would learn that, and they would be all that they can be for You, Lord. I also thank You for everyone here with the gift of mercy. Lord, it seems like by what I've read, this seems to be the most profound and the most common gift within Your body. Apparently, God, You see that there are a lot of needs and that we need people with that heart to apply mercy to people's needs, Lord. So bless everyone here that has mercy. Help them, Lord, in their insecurity. Help them, Lord, as many times that they'll struggle with inferiority complex, or they'll struggle, Lord, in ways they just, in their mercy heart, Lord, may they instead realize the strength that is theirs because You made them that way. Lord, thank You for those that are gifted administratively, Lord. They go home to an organized house, organized kitchen, organized sock drawer, Lord. They're just in every area of their life, they're so well kept and organized. Thank You for them, Lord. We need them. They see the big picture. We need that gift in the body. Help them, Lord. May they be the best administrators they can be for You. Meanwhile, Lord, I thank you for every server here tonight, that they're just gifted. They love to serve, Lord. I pray you'd bless them. I pray, God, that they would serve within this body, using their hands for you, God, and they'd be a blessing to us, Lord. Thank you, Father, as well, for every teacher here, everyone who wants every sermon in context. They're careful. They love an outline, Lord. They love to read and research, Lord. Bless them. May they use that according to the faith that you give them, Lord, and a portion to that faith, Lord. I pray they would use it in proportion to that faith for your glory. But may they read for you and study for you, Lord, and use it for you. And Lord, thank you for the exhorters that are here. They're so positive, God. Many times they tell stories that make us laugh, Lord. They encourage us. They motivate us, Lord. We need them in the body of Christ. Bless them, Lord. And those that discover exhortation as a gift this week, Lord, may they be a blessing to the body at Central. And to those, Lord, that have the gift of giving, Lord, we know all of us are to give. We're to tithe. We're to give above our tithe, Lord. And Lord, I pray, though, for those that have the special, unique gift of giving, though, that God, they will be a blessing to your kingdom. And they've probably already been a great blessing to us at Central. But Lord, may they continue to be. May they continue to give, Lord, wisely and carefully, stewarding well their finances for your glory. Lord, we just say as we close tonight, thank you that you've gifted every one of us here with a gift from you, Lord. May this help us discover who we are, how we fit, and how we can be a blessing to others. May we respect every gift, Lord, that you place within your body. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.